Question, are you a saint? I realize that God has a lot to say, and He makes it abundantly clear in His Word who is a saint. But how many are saints, or actual saints? So I'm going to ask a question. How many of you are saints? It's a few. Some are about halfway up. They're sort of like this. But hopefully after this sermon you will figure it out. HMS Richards once said, I've done a lot of study and I've concluded that there will be no black people in heaven. He went on, and further I've concluded that there will be no white people in heaven either. Oh, but where is HMS Richards going with this? He continued and said, from my study, the only people who will be in heaven will be red people. They aren't going to be any white or black people in heaven. They'll be red. They'll be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And we can rejoice in knowing that. Jesus' blood completely covers us. This actually is a description of a saint. Because a saint is not somebody who is really superior, is he? Webster's dictionary defines a saint this way. A holy person. A person who is exceptionally meek, charitable, and patient. Sounds like Christ, doesn't it? The biblical definition of a saint is somebody who was washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's the biblical definition. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? You ought to know if you are or you aren't. You ought to know. Have you asked Him to forgive you your sins? You should know if you're a saint or not, shouldn't you? A saint is one who is covered in Jesus' blood. I invite you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14. This text here is speaking about Jesus Christ. In verse 14, it says this, in whom we have redemption through whose blood? His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. That's where our redemption is. It's in the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus' own blood blots out our sins. Now someone said to me, there's an awful lot of talk about blood going on. All I hear about is blood. But when we truly understand what makes up blood, we get the picture. What is in the blood? It's life. It's life. Jesus' life covers us. Wouldn't it be nice if we could pick out the saints because they had an actual halo over their head that lit up? So as they walked into the church, you could look at them and you could say, look, there's a saint. Their halo is lit up. There's one over there. We would know. There are Christians who believe that saints are those who walk on the streets of gold up in heaven right now. That's not biblical, is it? Definitely not. Others think there is no such thing as a saint today. And let's not forget the belief in the most popular secular saint is the one the kids talk about at Christmas time. Saint Nicholas. But I will tell you the truth. Many saints are alive right now. In fact, a saint is somebody who has been born again and accepted Jesus as their personal Savior and friend. Look at Psalm 16 again. This will tell you where the saints are. Specifically, verse 3. Where do the saints live? Do you know the address of the saint? Psalm 16:3. But to the saints that are where? In the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. The saints are here in the earth. The saints are right here. The excellent ones. The ones that He regards His children. A saint is a precious child of God. So, we understand now. The saints are alive now. The saints live right here on this earth. They are the godly people now living in the land. They are godly because they are covered with what? The blood of Jesus Christ. Not because of their own efforts. Do you know of someone who you would consider a saint? I do. I've known many that I was just sure they were saints because they were so saintly. Of course, they would not admit that they were saints, would they? You can ask somebody, are you a saint? Like I asked this morning. Are you a saint? Hesitantly. And most will probably say, well, I'm not sure. Or they won't say anything at all. But we should know. Listen to this statement from my life today. God takes none to heaven but those who are first made saints in this world through the grace of Christ. That's beautiful. We are made where? Right here in this old sinful world. How are saints made? Through the grace of Christ. By His grace. Not by our works, but by His grace. That's how we are made into saints. Saints are created. Are you simply amazed, and every day when you wake up, at the creative ability of God? That He can create the worlds out of nothing. Well, I would submit to you that when God makes a saint, that's even a greater feat. Because when He makes a world, He makes it out of nothing. But when He makes a saint, He makes it out of something that is unsaintly, less than nothing. So He starts with something really bad. That's an amazing thing. If the truth were known, some of the greatest saints in this world have been some of the greatest sinners in this world. But keep in mind, past tense. In fact, the saints are right here in our church. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. I'm not sure if we'll turn to them all. If you have 10, you might want to write them down. 1 Corinthians 14, 33 says this. For God is not the author of what? Confusion, but of peace. As in all churches of the saints. As in all churches of the saints. The saints are in the congregation. They congregate together. They attend church if they are physically able. They do not skip church to do their own thing. Saints put God first in priority. And the heavens shall praise Thy wonders, O Lord. Thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. Psalm 89:5. The saints assemble to worship God in church. They like to assemble. They love to assemble. They love to congregate together to worship God together. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song. And His praise in the congregation of the saints again. Psalm 149 verse 1. And so we see the saints assemble together to worship. And that's what you have done here this morning. That's what you are doing here this morning. You are assembling yourselves together to worship the living God. You love to come and be here. That's a saint. They come as often as possible, don't they? But how many of you remember when you first came alive in Christ and made your decision to follow Him all the way? That if the doors of the church were open, you wanted to be there. You longed to fellowship with believers. A saint commits for every service because it is light and it is life. The surest steps towards happiness in this world are the church steps. Do you believe it? All saints go to church. But not everyone in church is a saint. What was Jesus' custom found in Luke chapter 4? What was His custom? Go to the synagogue on Sabbath day. As was His custom. Verse 16. And He came to Nazareth where He had been brought up. And as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. He went to church on the Sabbath day and participated. So that's a good custom, isn't it? We have a good example. But that's what saints do. What else about saints? Saints are a giving people, aren't they? Turn with me to Psalm chapter 50 and verse 5. Here's another habit, a good habit that the saints have. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. God's saints sacrifice for God's church. Have you sacrificed everything for God? Have you sacrificed everything for the one who loves you from the foundation of the earth? Your time, your means, your cherished possessions, and someday perhaps even your very life. Are you willing to give that much? Saints are a giving people. That's why they're so happy. Are you happy? Psalm 149 and verse 5. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Well, I had to reflect upon that. Let the saints be joyful in glory. In glory. Do we have the glory today? Do we have His glory in our hearts? Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Do you sing in bed? Good. You hear of folks who sing in the shower, but the saints sing in their beds. What an amazing thing. Your wife wakes you up and you're singing. The next time you look in a mirror, look to see if you resemble a saint. The saints have a lot of joy. They sing on their beds. They're happy. They're full of peace. But you know something else? Sometimes, and I'm talking about myself here, but sometimes happier faces are seen on the bottle of an iodine than on some so-called saints. Now you know you're laughing because it's true, isn't it? Sometimes it is. I like to read this little phrase. We are not refugees in a pickle jar. That's not what we are. We are saints. Saints are supposed to smile and be happy people. And they sing aloud upon their beds. True happiness is a blend of gratitude, service, obedience, and saintly contentment or patience. I truly believe that God's remnant people have the capability of being the happiest people on this earth. I really do. Do you? We ought to be. Why though? Because we know Jesus. Knowing Jesus as personal friend, as Savior, is the basis of all joy. We have something to do. Someone to love. Something to look forward to. And a heaven that is coming soon. Our basis of gladness is Christ. Psalm 132 speaks about saints. Verse 9. Let thy saints shout for joy. So indeed we see happy people. But here's another attribute of a saint that you perhaps may have not recognized. Saints are also sort of blind. God gives saints special eyes that when they look on someone, they admire something in them. They can find good even in the worst criminals. Can you? They pray for them. This delivers them from the bondage of judging or condemning others. I thank God that sometimes we are blind. Another aspect of a saint, and this is a good one too. Saints are thankful people. Who is the greatest saint in the world? It is not he who prays most or fasts most. It is not he who gives most alms or is most eminent for temperance, chastity, or justice. But it is he who is always thankful to God, who wills everything that God wills, who receives everything as an instant of God's goodness, and has our heart always ready to praise God for it. That is a thankful saint. And saints serve. Psalm 79:2 speaks about the saints under great peril and persecution. it calls them a certain term. I'd like you to turn there. Psalm 79, verse 2. There's a lot of devastation in the verse, but there's also a lot of hope. That's something we like to look upon. The dead bodies of thy servants have they given to be meat unto the fowls of the heaven, the flesh of thy saints unto the beasts of the earth. And of course, let's read verse 3. Their blood have they shed like water around about Jerusalem, and there was none to bury them. A lot of sadness there. A lot of destruction. But let's not miss the point in this text. There's a synonym here. What's the synonym in this verse for saint? It's servant. We are servants. Saints are servants. That's the service of sainthood. A saint is somebody who serves the Lord and his fellow brothers and sisters. Someone has said, a saint is like a wheelbarrow. They only go when they are pushed. Is that true? I should hope not. A saint is somebody who does serve. Somebody who is willing. A saint is somebody who indeed does serve. Somebody who is indeed willing. Somebody who wants to serve. Who volunteers. That's a saint. A farmer dug a pond to water his flocks. He was disappointed because in the summer his pond was dried up. And in the winter it was frozen like a lake of ice. It did not serve his needs. How does God look at us? When he really needs a servant, do we ice over? Do we dry up? That's a penetrating thought, isn't it? Saints are servants of the living God. People that God can trust. A genuine saint, as an illustration, is like a good pocket watch. He has an open face, busy hands, and is made up of pure gold. He is well regulated and is full of good works. Nothing wrong with good works, is there? Absolutely not. His goal, though, is to be a blessing to his master. He is connected to his master by the golden chain of love. And a saint will never quit. They are patient. Patience again. And where do we read about patience, the most famous text that we know of in Revelation? 14 and 12. Here is the patience of the what? The saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the what? Faith of Jesus. Saints remain. They don't quit under adversity. Why would you quit under adversity when Jesus is at the head? Saints do not retire. There are some of you here today that are retired. But a saint does not retire from Jesus. Some churches are plagued with retired saints. Too many saints wish to be counted in, but are not counted on. Can Jesus count on you? God's church is not supposed to be a retirement home for saints, but an opportunity for saints to serve. And saints are in the perfecting mode. God gives pastors, God gives teachers to the churches. Why? For the equipping. One reason is listed in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. I'll just read it. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, verse 12, for the what? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So it's for the perfecting of the saints. Do saints need perfecting? Indeed. We all need the heavenly perfection that is freely offered. The church is a hospital for sinners, right? Not a club for impeccable, faultless saints. Who is it that perfects us? Jesus, our Redeemer. He is willing to cover us with His perfection. Do you want the perfection He is offering to you today? Choose His perfection for your life. Now, saints do have problems, don't they? In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul is writing to the sanctified. That's verse 2. But in verse 11, he says, there are quarrels, contentions among you. They were having some problems amongst the brethren. Saints have contentions. Did you ever have an argument in your house? Did you ever have contention in your house? The saint has not lost the capability to sin, but is developing a growing distaste and even hatred for sin. They are getting away from sinful ways more and more as time goes on. You've heard of the book Pilgrim's Progress? Some so-called Christians can't be called pilgrims because they never make any progress. A pilgrim makes progress. Maybe it's slow sometimes, but they are walking with Jesus. They will make it if they continue to hold on to Him. Listen to this quote. This is beautiful. But it hits home. If you would be a saint in heaven, you must first be a saint on earth. The traits of character you cherish in life will not be changed by death or by the resurrection. You will come up from the grave with the same disposition you manifested in your home and in society. Jesus does not change the character at His coming. The work of transformation must be done now. Our daily lives are determining our destiny. Basically, it sounds like this earth is the garden where the saints are grown, doesn't it? This is where it all happens. Right here. It happens right here in church. God cannot make a bad person do good any more than you can make a coyote act like a happy puppy dog. Or a vulture behave like a dove. But if you choose to be like Jesus, that's the key. And if you daily behold Him, every day, you will slowly but surely become a kind Christ-like saint. God doesn't make you what you don't want to be, does He? But if you ask Him, then He can make you. He can change you. He is willing to grow you in His garden. Just accept it. Through divine strength, the weakest saint is more than a match for Satan and all his angels. That's from the faith I live by. Satan does not have to have the power over us. He does not. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And how do you resist the devil? By drawing nigh to God. Praise the Lord. There are some saints that are weaker than other saints, perhaps because they have not grown as much. Maybe they haven't been in the truth as long. Maybe they haven't been Christians as long. Just a few more attributes of a saint. Saints are a praying group. Praise the Lord for prayer. Revelation 5:8 speaks of the prayers of the saints. A true saint is like a field of ripening corn. The riper the corn grows, the lower the corn bows its head to the ground. Have you ever driven by a cornfield? And it is true. In the late in the season, as the corn is fulfilling its maturity, it starts to bow down. When they are fully bowed, it is time for the harvest. The saints bow their heads in prayer. And in prayer, saints are humble. You've probably noticed that. If you ask saintly folk, "Are you a saint?" they often answer, "No, I'm not a saint." Well, they are. Paul in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, that he was the least of the saints, right? Martin Luther said he was a worm. Did Martin Luther call himself a worm because he enjoys being wormy? The saint does not call himself a worm because he enjoys being wormy, but because there is simply no other way graphic enough to express the richness of God and the meagerness of man. He was humble. Saints are humble. So if you'd like to see a saint, go home and look in the mirror. If you see the marks of Jesus growing in your face, you are His child. And saints are obedient. One text we've already read, Revelation 14:12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Why do they keep the commandments of God? They love God. They love Jesus. A saint is somebody that loves Jesus. Now I'd like to leave you with some special blessings this morning that God wants to give to you and to me. Special blessings are in store for the saints. Psalm 37:28. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. So that's a promise for us. All you saints, you're being preserved. And Psalm 34, verse 9, O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. You are one of his saints. You really are his child. A saint is a child of God. A saint is someone who was born again, has accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Have you given your life to God? We may all have all been baptized, but have we given our life to God? If you have, you are saved. If you have given your life to God, you are saved. Keep giving your life to God. You may do some unsaintly things sometimes, but if you are striving to love Jesus more, to surrender your life to Him more, to fulfill more of His purpose in your life, then you are a saint. That doesn't mean that you'll always do everything perfectly, although, at the close of time, will there be any sinning saints? No. We will have arrived by that time. We will have been covered completely by the blood of Jesus. We will have been sealed. But if you are a saint, then Jesus is your focus, your love, and your joy. You enjoy attending church. If you don't enjoy attending church, then you need to go home and ask Jesus why that is. A saint enjoys fellowshipping together. Now, if you don't enjoy fellowshipping together, you need to go home and ask Jesus why that is so. You enjoy assembling yourselves together, congregating together, all these things we have talked about, then you are a saint. Why? Because your Father in heaven says so. Let's go back to HMS Richards in closing. Will there be white people in heaven? Will there be black people in heaven? No, there will just be red people saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what entitles you to sainthood. When the saints enter through the gates of heaven, I tell you, I want to be there. Don't you? But right now, God's saints are here in His service, for His service, and praising God for the wonderful and amazing transformation unto the likeness of Jesus Christ in their hearts. Let us sing on our beds. Let's shout the victory that's found in Jesus Christ.